Blog Talk Radio.
I get out of all your boxes. I'll get out. You can't hold me in these chains. I'll get out. Father, free me from this bondage. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. Your stinking resolution is no type of solution. Preventing me from freedom, maintaining your pollution. I won't support your lie no more. I won't even try no more. If I have to die, oh Lord, that's how I choose to live. I won't be compromised no more. I can't be victimized no more. I just don't sympathize no more. 'Cause now I understand. You just wanna use me. You say love and abuse me. You never thought you'd lose me. But how quickly we forget that nothing is for certain. You thought I'd stay here hurting. Your guilt trip's just not working. Repressing me to death. 'Cause now I'm choosing life, yo. I'll take the sacrifice, yo. If everything must go, then go. That's how I choose to live.
Okay, we're getting there. At least I had a chunk. Okay, how I choose to live.
No more compromises. I see past the disguises. Blindly through mind control. Stealing my eternal soul. Appealing through material. To keep me as your slave. But I'll get out. Oh, I'll get out of all your boxes. I'll get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains. I'll get out. Oh, I want out of social bondage. Knowing my condition. Oh, it's the reason I must change. See, what you see is what you get. Oh, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, I don't care if you're upset. I could care less if you're upset. You don't change the truth. And your hurt feelings no excuse to keep me in this box. Psychological lock. Repressing true expression. Cementing this repression. Promoting mass deception so that no one can be healed. I don't respect your system. I won't protect your system. When you talk, I don't listen. Oh, let my father's will be done. And just get out. Oh, just get out of all this bondage. Just get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains. Just get out. Oh, these traditions killing freedom. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. I just accepted what you say. Keeping me among the dead. The only way to know is to walk, then learn, and grow. But faith is not your speed, or you'd have everyone believe that you're the sole authority. Just follow the majority, afraid to face reality. The system is a joke, or you'd be smart to save your soul. Oh, and escape this mind control. You spend your life as sacrifice to a system for the dead. Oh, are you sure? Where's the passion in this living? Are you sure it's God you're serving? Obligated to a system, getting less than you're deserving. Who made up these schools, I say? Who made up these rules, I say? Animal conditioning, or just to keep us as a slave, or just get out of this social purgatory, just get out.
it out, brother. Thank you. We're rocking here this morning. Hopefully, we're going to have some interesting dialogue with the subject matter, the good and the bad of being black in America. Some call it the great dichotomy, being black in America. We see, many of us, clearly, the progress blacks have made in America, and we see the great challenges facing blacks in America, all at the same time. The reality is simple. Blacks as individuals have always had a level of success in America, and blacks have always had significant hurdles simply due to the color of their skin and the associated response to that reality. This is part of the cognitive disconnect in America. The refusal of some blacks who make it in maintaining the level of empathy necessary to be positive examples for all people, and especially for black people, who make it, and those who may yet still suffer from what many call systemic and structural racism. It can exist even though we can point to multiple success stories in our own lifetimes of the changes that we, each one of us perhaps, was able to see. So brothers, we'd like to have a conversation this morning and just chat about why is it so difficult to be successful as a black and have the inability to really speak for your people? Why is it that you see some who become what society calls successful become outcast, sometimes to the black community? Or why is it that when blacks sometimes become successful, they seem to become insensitized to the needs of their people? There is no structured format in this conversation. If you go a little too long, I might butt in a little bit. But there's no structure to the conversation. We want to take the next 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes, and just hear from the brothers. The good and bad of being black in America. Why is it difficult for blacks, we want to make sure we say some, who make it, and fail to maintain a connection to the people? Is it their fault? Is it the fault of America? We're just having a conversation. No right answer, no wrong answer. We're just trying to have a conversation. All mics are open. Come forward, please. Why is it difficult having success as a black man, especially a black man in America, for all blacks, but black men in particular? Why does America seem to want to tear down oftentimes the black male masculinity? Why is it that we oftentimes see black men specifically and women being objectified in their bodies and with their bodies? There's no structure. We're just having an open dialogue. This is what we're going to call brain script. But we just brainstorm with no preconceived idea. This is all extemporaneous. So come on, brothers. Let's share some thoughts.
Good morning, Brother Jesse. Good morning, Brother Gabriel. It seems that when you make it up to the top and you say that you obtained the American dream of buying a big house or a car and you obtain a good paying job and you said if I can do it, anyone can do it. So some have made it what they so call the American dream and stated that they don't see this system is being racist, systemic racism tend to have left their vocabulary, and they're saying, if I can do it, we can do it. And for one example, the South Carolina senator, you said that America, you can attain, yes, you can attain if you drive, you can do it, but they tend to forget that the system that was created to hold black American, African American back is still prevailing today. And they tend to not speak out against that. So I think that that when some reach the top, they're in their mind, they're still saying that, you know, I can get it. If I can get it, you can also get it. That's a true statement. But still, there's systems that is still set in place that they tend to forget that are still prevalent today. So I say that in love.
Amen. Come on, brother. Let's keep the dialogue.
Good morning, brother. Good morning, brother. I would like to piggyback on what was just said. But we grew up and have grown up in this country. Back in the day, I'm looking at 1890, 1960, 1950. The system they created, we had to live in. We had to learn our system or learn the system on the fly. We didn't create this system. But when we learn systems, they change the bar. They change the goal line. They move the execution of things. This is a beautiful country, a beautiful situation. But no other country has inequality that we have to jump through hoops in, like the United States of America. And some countries just don't have the kind of opportunity, the wherewithal. But in this land of what they call milk and honey, we have strived for perfection, strive for excellence, or just trying to just re-accept it. They move the tools. They move the law. We're not mad at them because we're changed. We change with the circumstances. We just have to learn the game. And when we see the game has changed, we change with the game. But some of us, some will sell out their brother and their sister. I don't know why. But maybe we've gotten late. But I am of the opinion, as a black man, strong black man, looking for a strong black woman, the system is corrupt. The society is corrupt. But we're learning on the fly on a daily basis. We're learning how to be strong, how to work and do and be excellent at what we do. We've all created certain opportunities. Some of us have excelled and reached unbelievable heights of execution, athletically, socially, mentally, morally, educationally. But our fellow man, helping one another, I'm of the opinion that white America is truly afraid of black America. And I say it that way. White America is afraid of black America. We bring fear to our white dude. He has ostracized the black man through no fault of our own, and maybe with even help of black men. Kicked us out of our homes. Systematically, taking away some of our freedoms, systematically.
Brother Meade, hold on. We want to stay focused, brother. The challenge is the good and bad of being black in America, but we want to be concise if we could. We're going to limit this conversation to 30 minutes for the day, but you are right on point. But if you got to the heart of the matter, why is it for that individual brother, let's just say the brother at the moment, why is it difficult for him to be successful and maintain a connection to his people? I mean, that's really the crux of the matter, is that we have always been successful in America from day one. What is it that makes it difficult for that individual, hypothetically, so we can really be concise? There's a whole lot of variables you're laying out, all making impact. But if we could focus in, what is it?
Good morning, brothers. Good to be on with my brothers discussing topics such as this. And I think I begin to look at this thing from a broader perspective, and I start seeing, I try to look at it from my life and then try to overlay it into every life. If I am working my way up, grinding, working my way up, connected to my people, I make a good living, or if I become in the top echelon of the system that is designed to control the people, what it does is it's saying, okay, you're up at this top level now. You know you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't be thinking like this, you can't be thinking like that, because if you do, I'm going to take that money away from you. I'm going to take that nice home from you. I'm going to take that that nice car from you. And at the end of the day, most of us, our desire is to take care of our families. And most of the time, we have the mindset of we can't go back to where we came from. So we do whatever it is, good or bad, to maintain that status. And if that means we have to separate from the black community to maintain the millions or billions of dollars that I have, then so be it. Because at this point, I'm thinking about myself and my family. I've heard it the past, I don't know, 2-3 weeks. That seemed like the ongoing message that I keep hearing. Oh, I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of myself and my family. So once you have individuals that reach that level, and that thought paradigm is, I got to only take care of myself and my family, then the separation has already begun. I think, to be truthful, you have to, when you climbing that ladder and you reach that status, you still have to maintain somewhat of a decent but not overdo it lifestyle. That way you can stay free. But as long as you splurge, and you have the right to do that if you have that money, but as long as you go splurging and you get five to six houses, no matter, you know, you only can live in one, you're not renting out the other one, you know, and you have to maintain that, your thought process is always going to be on, I got to maintain my lifestyle, so I can't say this, I can't be associated with this. And that's how the system pulls out our best and have them to be on the island by themselves. That's white supremacy in a nutshell. Peace, family.
Beautiful. Anyone else? Come on, brothers. We're just sharing ideas and thoughts. How do we break this challenge we have to be successful as an individual, yet maintain a connection with our people, knowing that whatever we do, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, subset to you is always going to be a reflection on your people. And that's why sometimes when you hear people that have theoretically become successful say, I'm not a role model, how untrue. We all are role models. All of us. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States of America or if you have whatever job you may feel is the worst job in America. It doesn't matter. Anytime you have interface with other people, you will have an impact on their thinking and how they look at you, not only as a person, but also as an individual. And see, somewhere along the way, we sometimes don't maintain, some of us, that connection. And you said something so powerful that is that when we are trying to maintain our living conditions or our standards of living, once they have been obtained, it can indeed cloud that perspective and that desire to make sure you maintain that connection for your people. And when you go through some pain and some tribulation, you know, we can begin to see how beneficial that pain and those tribulations have been as we mature over time. But what do you deepfake. I'm going to read this again for you all to reframe it. We got about another 12 minutes, 13 minutes. Some call this the great dichotomy of being black in America. We see the progress blacks have made in America, and we see the great challenges facing blacks in America, all at the same time. The reality is simple. Blacks as individuals have always had a level of success in America, and blacks have always had significant hurdles simply due to the color of their skin and the associated response to that reality. This is part of the cognitive disconnect in America, the refusal of some blacks who make it in maintaining the level of empathy necessary to be positive examples for all the people, and especially for black people who make it and those who may yet still suffer from what some and many call systemic and structural racism. That is a dichotomy. You know, that's something that doesn't seem to go together. You've been successful, but somebody is still saying you got all of these problems. So come on, brothers. We just share. There's no right or wrong answer, but we want to try to be specific. How do we dismantle this? How do we as individuals, someone mentioned earlier, the mental reality? Because it is a mental reality. It's a challenge. Where you're going into a place and it's trying to strip you and rob you. When I was in corporate America, let me give you an example. What's the thing you're supposed to normally do in corporate America? You see the dark suit, the white shirt, the red tie, the IBM look. You see the clean shaven, no mustache, no beard, that kind of thing. Back in the 70s when black folks were starting to make a climb up even that route. And so that was an influence there. And the question always was, would you be willing to grow a beard? Would you be willing to wear a mustache? Would you be willing to whatever? And many were not willing to do so. So they were willing to try to make sure that they looked not as menacing, because sometimes we do look menacing when we had the big froze and the beard and the mustache, the goatees or whatever. But how do we now deal with this thing, the good and the bad of being black in America? Because we have to admit, some of us, that you know, now in our 60s or near 70s or 50s, even 40s, we can see there have been improvement. Yet we become frustrated because we still yet see the evidence from a structural and systemic perspective, the challenge you have as a black man in America. Come on, brothers, your mics are open. Let's get some comments, a couple of minutes from all the brothers that want to make comments. No right or wrong answer, we just share. Well, I'll come back and say this. I know we got a load of brothers on. I just checked it out. Is that, brothers, the challenge is this. The system and those that run the system, they know, again, I'm going to use this most recent example, like a group. They know that they have certain feelings about people that are real. They're not made up. They're real. But see, since nobody has ever trained them or taught them about it, since nobody's ever taken time to give them a lesson or an education on why they have this cognitive dissonance. You know, a cognitive, we all know what that is. It's when you think a certain thing, when it seems like it's a certain way, but it's really not. But you really don't, it's difficult for you to acknowledge it and put it together. So it's disconnected. So most Americans, black and white, that's the life they live. They live this life where on paper, this imaginary image and picture of this great, great place, you know, the land of dreams and opportunity, which is this, it exists. But at the same time, while it exists, you've got this invisible system, this invisible thing that some could even say it's a spiritual reality that's in place that make it very difficult then for the very person that has observed your greatness, observed your creativity, that still in the back of their mind they have a reservation because of how they have been polluted in their thinking about people that look like you. And so the pathway they take is they try to slowly, slowly knock away your commitment to your people. They say things like, you're different. Oh, you don't speak the same way. You don't think the same way. What is different about you? Oh, I don't even see you as a black person. See, some people may even embrace that as a compliment and say, wow, I have ascended. Well, you may have, if that's the way you want to look at it. Because all of us want to be first as an individual, accepted as an individual. Yet, our responsibility that so many of us don't want to take is that we also have to be an ambassador, whether we want to or not, for our people. By default, you will be an ambassador. So let me switch gears and ask you, can we come up with specific examples of individuals who you say are positive ambassadors by default and negative ambassadors by default? Maybe in the political arena. Lights are open. Who do you think in the political arena is a positive or one that's a negative example of what we're describing this dichotomy to be? Successful as an individual, but sometimes make it more difficult for you to be willing to be a theoretical spokesman for the people. What examples come to mind? Come on, brothers, your mic's open.
For me, I think one of the primary ones, actually two of them, maybe the Candace Parkers and the Herschel Walkers of the world. I think that on the individual level, those, you can't deny their level of success. You have to think about, you know, what did they have to sell of their soul in order to maintain that successfulness that they achieved. So those are two straight off that comes to mind for me.
Excellent. Anyone else? Come on, brother. Positive or negative? I'm going to throw a positive out there. Minister Farrakhan. Because his message has been very consistent. But I will say that his delivery has been, I don't even know the right word. It's a little different, but it's the same message. When you go back and listen to things that were said a long time ago and things said today, very consistent. But, you know, we all mature, change, grow, and that delivery maybe is more targeted or whatever. But that's an example of for positive, right? A long-term, long-life supporter being successful as an individual. I'm sure he could have called it, shut it down, whatever. But still know all of us, and this is what I believe all of us as black men, commitment we should have. Is that, look, as long as I can say something, as long as I got breath, I'm going to be pushing, encouraging black folks to be the best they could be and do it in a manner where you're not trying to destroy another one. And instead of destroying, you want to build up. You want to edify. You want to bring up, because it's like we said before, Malcolm and Martin finally figured it out. Let's leave our religions in the closet. You know, let's leave that there, because we got all of these other things that we have in common that we need to fight together. And I remember one of my sons, Jeremy, giving me a play, tickets to go to a play, and I saw a play where they were there. And it was the love of a child. That in this particular play, you know, we embellished a little bit, but it was a great way of doing it. It was the love of one child for another child that got them to sit down and speak. So metaphorically, whatever you need to do to make that crossover to be committed to not focusing on differences, but focusing on those things in common to cause us, even if we become successful as individuals, that we maintain an empathy and a sensitivity for our people. We got to do that. Who else got an example? Come on, brother. We got about another 8 minutes. No right or wrong answer. We just sharing. Well, I'll give you an example. I hate to say it, he's from Detroit, Ben Carson. This ain't political, brothers, but it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Ben Carson was at a prayer meeting, one of the prayer meetings they have up there in D.C., and Ben Carson has heard some things that are very, very, to me, detrimental to what we're talking about. When somebody would say, oh, I'm glad that my ancestors came over on a boat because that's when I learned about Jesus. Well, Ben, you just blew a whole lot of respect that a lot of people have for you as a neurosurgeon. They have your books in their library, just read your books, that were motivated by your books. But then when you get to the essence of your people, you get rejected because of saying something like that. Come on, brother, who was that? Speak up, speak up.
I think another one for me on the negative side would be similar to for me, like a Clyburn, you know, who very successful, and I hate to even put him in because I had gained a lot of respect for this brother at one point, but I start to see I'm seeing why he can be in, you know, in politics this long as a black man in South Carolina, you know, because he's going to toe that line. He's going to toe a line. He's not going to cross over a line. So when faced with the difficult questions, you know, like is America's racist, you know, he's going to give an answer that's very, very tolerable to the American majority taste bud. He's going to make that message very very tolerable for their palate. So I think, you know, it's people like that I think that stops our progress, because sometimes it's just the words need to be said at the right time when the momentum is there in order for us to advance. And there's been several times where he's taken the opposite course, you know. But prior to this past year, he would have been on the positive side because I just hadn't seen it. I just hadn't seen it from him. So some of them that are there, they hide, you know, they hide, and you know, until they're put in a tough situation, and then it comes out, you know, where they really stand. So for me, I think that's on the negative. On the positive, on the positive, man.
Well, I'll give you a positive. This is another positive. How about Cordell West?
Yeah, that's that brother. See? That brother. Yes. Message is always the same. Cordell West's message is always the same. No matter who don't like it, you know, he got pushed out on, you know, for when his challenge of Barack Obama. You know, but his message was the same that he's been teaching since I started listening to him. You know, it's been the same message. So yeah, you're exactly right. Cornell is one of those ones who definitely will be on the positive side in my book.
Come on, brothers, brother B, who you think, brother? I didn't mean to cut you off the time you was on the road. Who do you think is a good role model that can handle black success as an individual and maintain empathy to his people? Who would you put on that list?
Well, I had a woman in mind who is hitting my spirit, is Maya Moore, a basketball player. But she was an example of what blackness is, at leaving all of the accolades of an athletic career, and then finding love in the penal stuff, in the penal system, and then just coming out and just saying, I want to live my life as a black person. So that was just a selection that I wanted in my heart.
Hey, that's a beautiful selection, brother. That's a beautiful selection. Go ahead.
I just got one, man. I got to get his brother his father while he lives. You know, and some people say it may have been because of his sons or what, I don't know. But seemed like Deion Sanders has always maintained that connection to the community, even when he wasn't coaching. But for him to take the job down in Jackson State and what he's doing for those young men, not only at his school, but for conference-wide, and that where they're all black schools, HBCUs, that definitely has to go on the power. And I can't remember a time, even when he was on the NFL Network, whatever, that he didn't stay connected to the community. You may not agree with his message all the time, but he still had an affection for the black community, and it always came out when he spoke. So I have to give our brother his credit. Now, I'm not saying that he's a perfect human being or any of that, but, you know, but from what he's shown, he's maintained a sense of connection to his community. Even in that same breath, even LeBron James, who could easily, now he's one of those ones who do have the $1 billion, you know, but somehow or another, he's maintained that connection to his community and speak out on issues when he can. And, you know, when he can speak out on them, he always has empathy for the community, you know, and I think it's because he developed his own media company. And because we know at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's the media that keeps those individuals that we're talking about from maintaining that connection. And maybe by him having his own powerful arm of communication, maybe that has helped him maintain that balance as far as being, you know, connected to his community.
Brother's powerful. Is there another brother in the last couple of minutes before we close this down and we're going to come back? Go ahead.
I would say each and one of us, we have to step out on our faith, because as I look at myself, I tend to look at others. I think we as individuals have to be more involved. We have to get out our message. So I would say each and one of us, because we show a prime example at the home, at the home front. Our kids looking at us instead of them looking at heroes, they call, you know, a politician they call, you know, as heroes. You would serve as a leader to them. So I would say, start at home, that we individual that our kids have to look up to.
Well, that's the key right there, brother. You can broke the code now. That we may have those that we can look to as being empathetic and maintaining that connection to their people. But each one of us individually must make that same commitment, that we must be able to say, hey, regardless of what happens, I may create a little consternation. I may create a little discomfort when I'm in the presence of people. But that's my responsibility. But I'm committed to doing the best I can to be able to share the experience. So, like people may ask you, they say, well, brother, you know, you seem to have a level of success. So isn't that an indication? Isn't that a validation? You know, there's no issues in America? And my answer always to them is, I love America. It's a great place. You know, this is where I want to be. But it's like everything else. You know, there's always room for improvement, wouldn't you say? Is there not room for improvement in the business you own and the company that you run? And isn't there always room for improvement? And they say, yes. And I say, isn't that improvement most of the time? Doesn't it come by one or two ways, by people or technology? Is that correct? That's correct. Okay, now with advance in technology, think about the technology, how it has advanced in the last 21 years, just since Y2K. I said, do you think the human experience has advanced that fast for the last 20 years? And they just most of the time say nothing, because they know the answer already. He said, human beings are not like technology. Technology can grow quantumly, but the human heart, that's a more slow, it's a more, I guess, systemic response. And then we know that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we have examples of where you can play that role, like you have all of the empathy, you have all of the concern, yet it really ain't your heart. And when it's not your heart, then you're really just playing a game. You're not for real. You're not serious. Someone asked a question as we close. And do you think people like Stephen A. Smith, do you think they're like serious? No, I don't. I think somebody got the idea that his antagonistic role, the way he does it, is good and beneficial, that it creates these kind of pockets of resistance or debate within people. But see, the problem to me that I have is that it seems like he's not balanced in that regard. He always seems to be supporting the system. What would I call this system? For example, in one of the brothers that was shown here, LeBron, calling out LeBron because LeBron said something like taking a vaccination was an individual thing. And he's making it personal where, oh, you're a spokesman for this. He's now trying to use all of the things that are correct that LeBron has done as a rationale for why he should be telling people what to do. See, that's a personal thing. That's what makes America great. If you want to figure out what made America great, it is the ability to have free speech. It's just like someone said the other day, group, then we're going to close it down for the next time. Everything that he said, it was no big deal as long as it was racial. Somebody may have said that this morning as well. The moment it became what they call homophobic, the moment it began to deal with this gay reality, what happened? Bam! I understand 90 minutes later, it was done. 90 minutes after that article came out. See, we got to understand, we have to speak up for ourselves. We have to believe in ourselves. We as individuals must be successful. Don't get it twisted. Don't think the opposite of that. Okay, in order for me to maintain a commitment to my community, then I can't be successful. No, you must become the best you can be. And then by virtue of that, create the ability to have the conversation. You're not going to have any power. You're not going to have any. It's like my sister used to say, oh, he ain't got no power. She ain't got no power. We ain't going to have no power unless you are excellent at your craft. And then even then, there will be situations where the money will make the final determination. But at the end of the day, in order for us to make an impact, each one of us must be the very best we can be. Brothers, as we close this particular session, and we're going to do this on every Friday, I just want to remind you that we got to be like the thief in the night. We got to be that voice crying out there in the wilderness. And we got to make sure that we are concerned and we are worrying. Until next time, I'm going to leave Anthony Hamilton with you, because on the macro scheme, this seems to be what it is. Ain't nobody worrying. After this song concludes, we'll be right back for final comments. But listen to this.
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low, all they're doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomachs start to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they got
brothers, I chose those two songs as the front and the back as bookends. Get out of the thinking that we may be in if we are thinking deceit. You know, turn that into aggressive pattern for each and every one, as Brother Gabriel brought up so beautifully. Let us be found guilty of being the best we can be by doing everything we can to be the best. And then let us use that in a manner that's going to be productive to each other, because the system itself only will be changed if we make a difference. We can't look to others. We start in our homes. We start in our communities, in the schools that our children attend, regardless of what level it may be. And we look for every opportunity we can to push the envelope a little further, a little further, a little further, by maintaining our dignity, but maintaining the pressure. Keep moving it forward. Keep moving it forward. So we just want to encourage you to join us again next Friday. We'll get into volume 2 about the good and the bad of being black in America. Until next time, my brother and my sister, may you continue to be focused on your mission, on your purpose, because I know God gave you one. Till then, peace and love. All right, brothers, we're going to drop.